Shalom, shalom, everybody, and welcome to the Restoration Hour. And yes, this evening we do not have a jingle, but we will be the jingle. You know what? Our jingle, our wonderful jingle that we love playing in with, magically just disappeared. But you know what? Welcome to the Restoration Hour. We are so, so blessed to be with you today. We are so grateful to be here. We hope that you've had such a wonderful weekend, such a blessed Shabbat yesterday. We hope that it was really just an amazing weekend. And if not, you know what? Welcome. This is going to be a great time that we're going to have together today, just in the presence of Messiah, just in the presence of one another. Thank you for fellowshipping with us. We're super excited. And it is so good to see you all here today. You know what? What we're going to be talking about and sharing about, you know, on the Restoration Hour is so vitally important. And we're going to really be breaking down holiness. And this is something that Abba Father was really laying on our hearts, you know. And before you go, oh, you know what? I know about holiness. I want you to kind of think in your mind right now, if I say the word holiness to you, you know, what happens in your mind? What do you actually think of? You know, what do you imagine? You know, is it something that is very abstract to you? Because the word holiness is really kind of a bit abstract if you think about it. It's a terminology that we never really put into a concrete reality. Holiness seems a very kind of imaginative word, and it's almost an imaginative concept. And it's this thing of like, you know, oh, holiness. Okay, so it's, you know, we kind of think about it in this Greek term where it's just abstract, like I keep saying. And so today we really want to break down holiness to you. No, we're not going to give you a four-step plan on how to be holy. We're not going to paint a picture for you, but we are going to tell you some truths. And I really want to encourage you to stick around, because holiness is something, without holiness, no one will what, Yosef?
See Elohim. And you know, Leah, I think that's one of the most important scriptures that we have to look at, because the truth of the matter is exactly that. He said himself that without holiness, no one is able to see Yahweh. Mm-hmm. No one is able to see him. No one is really able to fully experience the fullness of his presence and of his goodness in a way that he wants us to understand it. And I am excited for this evening. I'm also excited to see all the interaction on the chat. And that's great. It's great to be able to see people saying hello to one another on the chat this evening, people who know each other. It's a blessing to see. But before we start this evening, let's pray and let's really ask the Father just to bless this time as we are together. So Father, we come to you tonight and we say thank you. Thank you, Yahweh, that you are our Father. Thank you, Yahweh, that you are our Daddy. And thank you, Abba Father, that you have our best interest at heart, that you desire for us, Father, to be your children, but that you don't leave us orphans. Father, you desire for us to grow up, and you have given us all things that we need for life and godliness. So Father, this evening I want to pray, Father, that as we hear your word, Father, as we fellowship around your word, as we allow your word, Father, to minister to our hearts and to our minds, Father, I pray that we will be people that understand the importance, Father, of this word, that it's not just a word, Father, that is given to us so that we can hear it and then go away and never be the same. Let us, Father, be changed, renewed, restored, and ready, Father, for the journey ahead. Because now more than ever, Father, we need to understand and take hold of your word, that you want us, Abba Father, to be holy as you are holy, so that you may dwell among us. But more than that, Father, so that we might be carriers of the very presence of our King in a very, very dark world, Father, where the world does not know you, Father. You are looking for people who will be holy and set apart unto you, so that they can carry your presence with them and show others who they really served. Show them who this Elohim is that we speak about, that we worship, that we love so much. And Father, we cannot do that in our flesh. We cannot do that in our own. We cannot do that in the way that we think. We need your presence. We need your Ruach. We need your helping hand continually. So I pray this evening, Father, that we'll come to understand, and that your word will go forth, Father, and that it will be a discussion, Father, about this, but also a time, Father, where at the end of this, where we go away changed and renewed and ready for what you have in store for us in the days ahead. And we thank you for this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. You know what? I want to say this. You know, we do see, like I said last week, we do see numbers on the screen, and often those numbers are people, multiple people. So I always encourage you, and I'm going to start encouraging you. I started encouraging you from last week. I'm going to start encouraging you again this week to really, if you are with us on the Restoration Hour, to please sign in. It's not because we want to see you sign in. It's because we want to be able to have a time of prayer and to be able to pray for you. And also, I really, really also encourage you that if your name is up there, but you have a spouse that's with you, or you have family members that's with you, or you have, you know, children that are with you, or anybody that's really with you, you know, just say, hey, you know, it's myself and like Darby and Debbie. We are both sitting together and we are both listening, because sometimes we do not know. And then, you know what, we really actually do want to pray. And if you have children with you, that's also cool. And say, oh, my kids are with me and their names are so-and-so. It's really so important that we really are just together and that we can have that time of prayer with you. You know what, Yosef, while you were praying, you prayed something so, so powerful and something so significant. And that was something that, you know what, we were actually talking about with someone yesterday, that there's this whole reality where people think that, you know, you've got to, there's almost this place you've got to get into in order to say, you know, just before you pray for someone to be healed, say, of their sickness, or before you pray for someone's marriage, or before you pray for someone that just needs encouragement, or before you do anything that, you know, Yeshua is calling you to do, you've got to almost get to this place, and then you've got to pray for 40 minutes, and then you've got to pray in this thing, and you've got to do this. It's kind of like a five-step thing. You've got to get this going before you just pray for people's lives to be touched. And that's actually not true. Amen. It's a non-biblical kind of viewpoint and theology that people have been taught. And the only reason you pray and nothing happens is because you're actually not walking with the Father step by step, moment by moment, day by day. The reason you've got to get into your room and pray for 30, 40, 50 minutes or do this five-step program is because you are not holy and you're not entertaining Abba Father's presence 24/7. Yeshua, yes, what I'm saying is Yeshua had these times of holiness, you know, where he went into this holy prayer time. You know, he was consistently holy, but he went into that alone holy prayer time. And that was good. That's how we should be living. Yet when he was walking on the earth, people would come up to him and say, Yeshua, heal me. He didn't need to get into that place of prayer, go back onto that mountain where he was praying in that deep holy prayer time alone with, you know, the Father. He didn't need to go back to that place and pray, you know, for about 3 hours, then come back to the leper and say, okay, now I will heal you. It wasn't like that. Because he was entertaining the presence of Yahweh with him consistently, he was able to touch people. Now, some people will say, well, you know, Yeshua is actually technically God, so he could do that. Okay, besides Yeshua, what about the disciples? What about the apostles? What about the book of Acts, where Peter and John are walking by the temple, and there's that guy, and they just say, I don't have silver and gold, but what I have, I'm going to give to you. Get up and walk. They didn't have to go away and just get into some sort of place, you know, that we've been taught we need to get into this holy place or this, you know, spiritual place. It's about living holy and being a holy vessel and entertaining Abba Father's presence. And the reason why people have developed this theology of getting into this place is because they're actually not entertaining the Father's presence. They're not living with Yeshua being within them and working in their hearts, working in their lives, and then being able to work through them. It's what you always say that, you know, it's he reveals himself to you and then he's in you and then through you. And that's the spiritual maturity, but that's also holiness. And that is key, Yosef. A lot of people want to be in that place where they can pray for other people and that person can maybe, you know, be healed or receive a word or be encouraged. But then they feel like, oh, I've got to go away and I've got to spend all this time before I even pray for this person. The challenge today is entertain Abba Father's presence so that you don't have to be able to do that. And then, you know, you're just so living one with him. And that's really how we should be walking. But key is the holiness.
You know, Leah, it's like you say, it's so important that, you know, we speak about these things always, and you know, in communities, like you said, we talk about holiness, and it's a word that is thrown around, or set apartness, as we've come to know, you know, the words. But people talk about, you know, we got to be set apart, we got to be holy. But the truth of the matter is exactly what you said. It's not about the times that you're in the congregation or that you're with others. That's not when you need to show others how holy you are. Mm. Holiness is what is happening in the quietness of your prayer time. What is happening in those times in your house? What is happening when you are alone with the Father? How are you recharging yourself in the presence of the King? You know, every single one of us today, most people in the world today carry a cell phone with them, a mobile phone. And most people charge that mobile phone in the evening, and when it's charged full, they pull it off the plug and they take it with them for the day. And for some people, you got a new phone, it lasts you 2 days. Other people might last 1 day. Some of you got an older phone, it lasts a half a day. So you know how important it is that you plug your phone in again in order for you to get a full charge. That's exactly how it was with Yeshua. Yeshua went away from the crowd and he went to pray, to recharge with the Father, so that when he was with people, he didn't have to, as Aaliyah said, do all these steps. It was just a natural thing of living with his Father, or having a relationship, an intimacy, a connection, a deep, intimate connection of a recharged spirit life inside of him, that when he went out and he did the works that his Father asked him to do, he was ready. He was ready whenever there was an opportunity that came. He was able to say, "In, you know, I pray for you, be healed. Go wash yourself with the water and be healed." You know, it wasn't, like you said, a whole lot of things. In the same manner as Yeshua came, Leah, and he was, yes, he was Yahweh in the flesh. But the scriptures, and we're going to read it as we go on this evening, the scriptures say that we are to be conformed to the likeness and the image of Messiah Yeshua. So if he is showing us a pattern of how we're supposed to live, you know, the important thing here is not how we are in a community. It's how we are when we are alone. And I want to say this evening. You know, a lot of us have come out of the church and we've embraced our Hebraic heritage, and we've begun to study the Torah because we're beginning to understand that the Torah shows us the difference between what is holy and what is profane. But it first started with our salvation experience. We got saved and we understood that, you know what, we cannot just remain carnal believers right here. We have to come to a point where we understand the difference between what is holy and what is profane. But unfortunately, now that so many of us have got into this place where we understanding this, we have also to a point got to a place where we are, you know, holy in the sense of, yes, okay, we keep the feast, we do the Shabbat. But what is happening when we are alone? It's still the matter of your heart, whether you are keeping the Torah or not, or whether you still go to church or whether you don't. The matter doesn't matter about where necessarily you are. It's more a matter of your heart. Yes, it is a matter of the Torah, because the Torah is important and it shows us the difference between what Yahweh considers holy and profane. We cannot, as a believer in Messiah Yeshua, go about and say, okay, well, you know what, it's okay for me to watch this, or it's okay for me to talk like this, or it's okay for me to keep this kind of company because I just feel comfortable around these people. But those people are mockers, scoffers, and evil. Yahweh says stay away from those people. But if we move our camp away from those people, but our heart is still divided and still evil, and we still have conceitment and hatred and anger in our hearts towards other things, then what does it matter if we moved our camp away from those people if our hearts are still divided? And Yahweh is the one that is looking now at his people, and he's saying to his people, I want to dwell among you. Yes, you've moved your camp away from what is unrighteous, but what about your heart? What about your actions? What about your mindset? What about the things that you're still doing now, even during COVID, when we are so far away from community and from one another? What are you watching? How are you talking? How are you acting with your wife? How are you acting with your husband? How do you treat your children? How do you treat your neighbor? How do you treat your coworker? And these are things that the Torah tells us, if we want to be holy as Yahweh is holy, we have to love justice, we have to walk humbly, and we have to do what? We have to be as our Creator is. We have to do these things. So it's okay to say, okay, well, I've moved my camp away from what is profane. But what about your heart? Is your heart fully 100% committed to Yahweh? Even though you are keeping the Sabbath, even though you're doing the festivals, you know, I'm reminded of that scripture that says, like we said last week, we have to be a living sacrifice unto Yahweh. Mm-hmm. We have to present ourselves as a living sacrifice unto Yahweh. Yeshua came and he presented himself to the Father unto death. He said, you know what? I will present myself as a sacrifice for my people, and I will do everything that my Father asks me to do. So when he prayed, Elia, you know, the disciples, when they saw him pray, they said to him, teach us how to pray. They were not people that weren't praying. These were men that understood the Torah. They were believers. They were followers of Messiah Yeshua. And there's a long period of time, actually, where they were following with him, where that scripture takes place, where he goes and he prays, and they are so bowled over by the power and authority that Yeshua has when he prays, that they said to him, you know what, Master, teach us how to pray. And then that's when we have, you know, what is commonly known as the Lord's Prayer. And he prays and he tells them. But the power and authority that he had came from his intimacy with the Father. And that was what drove him to be able to live that sinful life, I mean, sinless life, and be able to be the person that he was, and to share the truth with people in the way that he did.
That's so powerful what you're sharing. You know what? The essence of holiness is your heart attitude and your heart position as it is positioned towards Abba Father. And you mentioned that scripture about, you know, loving justice, you know, loving mercy, being merciful and walking humbly with your God. And it's so true as well that, the you know what, you get saved, you should come into the Torah truth. You should, because, you know, we're talking covenant now. First covenant, second covenant. You know, those who know us for a long time know that it is covenantal. It is the first covenant, second covenant, coming into that Torah truth. But the Torah is an introduction, a depth of introduction towards what holiness is. We learn what holiness is through our reading of the Word. And ultimately, you know what, just keeping the Sabbath is an elementary thing. It's basically a starting point. Keep not eating unclean food is an essence of learning between what is holy and what is unholy. Yahweh says that is not food. So when we look at a dog or we look at a cat, we don't see food. So when we look at a pig, we shouldn't see food, because Yahweh has said that is not food. That is, you know what, unholy for consumption. So we know that's a starting point. The feast teach us, you know, just like Shabbat, it teaches us that this is a holy time, a set apart time. And so we honor it as such. But those are also just entry points into our keeping of the Torah. When we go deep into keeping the Torah, we will see things like, you know, Yahweh tells his people Israel. And it seems like one of these examples I'm going to give you, it seems like such a weird thing that was for people back in the day. But he says, like, you know, if you come across a mother bird that's sitting on her eggs, you do not eat the mother bird and consume the eggs in that moment on the same time. You will let the mother bird go and you can then eat the eggs. Why? Because Yahweh is teaching there about mercy. He's teaching there that, you know what, this bird is sitting on her eggs. You know, this is her offspring. This is life. She has life in her. The eggs have life. That is how it is when you eat eggs. It is life. And so we do not kill the mother bird and the babies, the eggs. Those are babies. At the same time, you release the mother bird. Why? Because Yahweh is teaching us there how to see his creation, how to be, you know, almost, I would say, activists for kindness for the earth. He talks about if you see your neighbor's donkey, you know, falling into a hole, you don't leave it there. You know, Yosef and I think I've shared this story once a long time ago on the Restoration Hour. On Yom Kippur one year, it was the Day of Atonement, we were fasting, it was probably about 4 or 5 years ago. We walked outside the house where we were living at that time and we saw a dog lying in the bush and it was just lying there and it looked dead. I phoned my friend. She came down. The three of us stood with this dog. It was not really moving. You know what? We got on the phone. We were phoning the animal anti-cruelty that worked in the area saying, you know what? This could be someone's dog. We did see the dog then moving a bit. We were standing literally, you know what, less, but probably just 2 feet away from this dog. We stood there. This whole process took us 4 to 5 hours of of being on the phone, trying to find the owner. We put food out, we put water out, and consistently, Abba Father was saying to me, if you see your neighbor's donkey falling into a hole, it doesn't matter what day it is, this is important. You stand here and I'm showing you something. And we stood there and you wouldn't believe it, but we found the owner. The owner came down the road, and as the owner got out the car, shouted the dog's name, the dog jumped up. It wasn't dead, it looked dead, but the dog jumped up. He was wagging his tail. He ran to the car. He jumped in the car, but you wouldn't believe it. He stopped. And before they could close the door, he jumped straight out of the car, ran back to myself, Yosef, and my friend. He came, he jumped on each of us, almost as if to say thank you. He ran back, got in the neighbor's car, and the neighbor was like, thank you so, so much. We were looking for our dog. And you know what? That's not because we are good people, because we're saints. It was because Abba Father was saying, you know what? This is Torah. This is Torah right here. We've got to live it. And when you live it, you learn kindness, you learn holiness. I'm not saying every animal you come across, you have to do that. With that's something that I do, and Yosef is known to have to stop suddenly and we jump out the car like we got to save this dog. But the truth of the matter is, it's just about learning grace and kindness, and that is part of what Torah is. And it's this huge introduction between love, you know, between what is good and what is bad and what is holy and profane. And when we begin to understand that, we begin to internalize it, just like you said, and it begins to change our hearts. And you know what's so interesting, Yosef, the word, the Hebrew word for holiness, we know it so well because it's in a lot of songs and we sing it a lot, but we obviously know that it's Kadesh. You know, it's this word Kadesh, and we know that it actually means set apartness. And yes, we say that all the time, even I myself, but what do I really think of when I hear the word set apartness? What am I being set apart from? I'm actually being set apart from the things that I shouldn't watch on the TV. I'm being set apart from the things that I shouldn't consume with my mind, whether it be, even if it's social media, or even if it's your TV, or even if it's, you know, relationships, friendships, family members, whatever it may be in this world, you know, corruption and evil and all of those things. It's a deep set apartness. But you know what also is beautiful about the word Kadesh? It actually means the innermost part of the sanctuary. So Ezekiel 41, when it's talking about that temple that you've done so many teachings on, it actually says that the innermost part of the sanctuary has two doors, and it's talking about this, but it actually says that innermost part, the word there is used as Kodesh. And that's because the innermost part of us, we are the living temple where we have the Holy Spirit in us of Messiah Yeshua. The inner part of us is what? The Holy of Holies. It's our heart. It's where Yeshua should be crowned. It's where he should dwell. It's where he should, you know, be fully within us. And when he is fully within us and we've crowned him, and our heart is like that mercy seat that his flame sits upon, we will entertain his presence. But if we are filling ourselves and from our heart, there is unholiness still coming out, he's not going to dwell in that place. Why? Because no flesh can glory in the presence of Yahweh. No flesh, nothing of self, nothing of what gratifies our flesh. You know what? Momentarily, you might want to listen to some music that is not of Yahweh, or do something, you know, that, you know, is just momentarily gratifying. But how and what is it doing to your spirit? Our spirit can be defiled through the things that we watch, through the things that we entertain, through the, you know, obviously the speeches that we entertain. Sometimes it's difficult, you know, for all of us maybe. I know sometimes we have to go be with family members on their birthdays and they're not saved. And it's horrible. Your spirit doesn't want to be there. You don't like the conversations. And those are the things that we really need discernment for. We really need to pray and ask Abba Father about, because we got to be holy, set apart people. We don't want to be crazies. We don't want to, you know, harm everybody, because we don't want to come to your wedding or go to your birthday party. But we need to walk with that discernment and know that we can bring then Messiah Yeshua into that place. They've got to know, I'm not going to entertain that conversation. Yes, I'm going to be there because I'm respecting you, but I'm not going to entertain that conversation because I want to entertain Abba Father.
Mm-hmm. And you know, Leah, I think that for many people, they struggle to understand, like you said, how to be holy. It's not a matter of walking around, you know, like a saint or a Catholic priest with, you know, different robes and being set apart from people in that sense. No, it's not like that. What Yeshua desires from us is exactly what you said. He wants you not to be a person who gratifies their flesh. You know, right from the very, very beginning, Yahweh's desire with Israel, and we know this, was to be a kingdom of priests, to be people who would show forth his glory to the world, so that the entire world would come to know who he was. And nothing has changed. It's still the same today. So it comes down to this whole thing, and this is, you know, maybe what we need to break down, that now more than ever, the message is that, you know, it's been the same message from the beginning. The word of Yahweh is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But Yahweh takes us back in seasons because he wants to prepare us for what is still to come. So when Yahweh begins to speak to us about holiness, we have to listen, because there is a reason for it. It is not Yahweh desires to have, you know, your individual holiness, you know, set right. In other words, to put in right place. But it's not just necessarily for one person or for two people. He's desiring to have that remnant or that collective army of people who are ready. You know, our weapons, Aaliyah, are not of this world. Our weapons are spiritual, and our weapons are mighty for the battle that lies ahead. And I've said this so many times in all the teachings, I'm going to say it again. If we go to war with our own sword and you go to war with your own sword, it will be kind of powerful in a sense. But if we all go to battle with the presence of the King with us, like the armies of Israel used to do when they took the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh with them, what happened? Battles were won. Wars were won. And people were destroyed who came against the armies of Yahweh. Not because of their swords or not because of their great might, but because they had the presence of Yahweh, where his very presence dwelt among them. And they did what Yahweh desired. They carried that Ark of the Testament in what? In a holy manner. They carried it in the correct prescribed way. When they didn't carry it in the correct prescribed way, people died. And people were slaughtered. And Yahweh's people were defeated. But when they took that Ark of Yahweh's Testament, and the Levites carried the Ark of Yahweh in a consecrated fashion, there was victory. Now just think that if Yahweh says today that there is going to be a remnant of his people who will serve him in spirit and in truth, then it is so important now to come to a point where we say to ourselves, man, I can no longer gratify my flesh. I can no longer allow myself to be divided between what I know the scriptures tell me is profane and what I think is good and right and holy, compared to what the scriptures tell me is good and right and holy. Because Yahweh is not going to look at you and say to you, hey, you know what? Well done, my good and faithful servant. Come and inherit the kingdom, if you are doing lawless acts in his kingdom. He is a just and righteous Elohim that is looking for people, like we said, in like it says in Malachi. Let me read the scripture to you quickly in Malachi. I'm actually working on a teaching about this scripture. It says this not in Malachi, in Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. It says, what does Yahweh require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your Elohim. That's what he desires. So when he asks us to love justice, how can we love justice or do justice if we don't understand what his justice is about? If we do not understand what his mercy is about, if we do not understand what it means to be humble and righteous before our King, according to his standard, we are never going to be able to do this passage of scripture correctly, and we are going to fall short. And in the last days, now more than ever, he says very clearly, you will say to me, I cast out demons in your name. You will say to me that you fellowshipped even with me. And I will say to you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness, because I do not know you. And I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be the one that is there, that has this understanding in my mind, but I allowed my flesh to sway me from the truth. And you know, it's such a fine line, Aaliyah. We can be saved for years. We can be walking with the Father for years, and there can come something along the way. You know, the enemy, and I want to say this evening, we are not relentless in our pursuit of Yahweh. We should be relentless in our pursuit of our King. We should be hunting him down and wanting to be in his presence in a manner that is kind of like somebody that longs and yearns and desires somebody so much that they cannot let go. Because the enemy is relentless in his destruction against the people of Yahweh. He is always plotting to kill, to destroy, and to annihilate whoever he can. So just when you think in that little moment that you are okay, that's the moment when you should be fearing the most, because just one slip, one wrong decision, one act of your flesh can cause a loophole in your life that can set you back not just days, but months and years, where you struggle to come back to where Yahweh wants you to be. Mm. So we have to be relentless, not fearful, but relentless in a sense of the pursuit of the presence of Yahweh. That is why it's so important that we pray and seek Him. And it's not, like you said, it's not a five-step plan or a religious plan. It's a heartfelt intimacy and longing to do what is right.
Absolutely. You know, Yosef, you know what you were saying as well about holiness in the congregation. And you know what? And carrying the ark and how to carry the ark. And that is so specific as well. And we need to go to our first song of the evening. But I just want to say this before we go to the song. I think that that is always a warning and it's always a challenge. It's something that we've seen in the church, you know, very much about wanting the ark of Yahweh, you know, that presence. But doing it in such an unholy way, through entertainment, through the wrong things, through the false manifestations of false things. And we have to be so careful when we want to carry the glory and the presence of Yahweh. We need to do it in His prescribed way. The prescribed priests need to carry that ark, need to carry His presence. And like we've always said, you're doing it on your shoulders because it comes at a cost. And it needs to be done in a holy way that Yahweh has prescribed. You know, He doesn't want us sitting around barking like dogs. He doesn't want us doing things in an unholy way. And we need to do things in His prescribed holy manner and be holy people who handle this holy Elohim with holy hands. And that's always going to be such a great high standard that we can set for ourselves. So we're going to go to our first song of the evening. It's called Won't Stop by Chris McClarney. Enjoy the song and we'll continue when we get back.
I'm praising on the battlefield. I'm singing through the pain. My God, you have delivered me. And I know you. I know you for me, forever with me.
I really, really love that song called Won't Stop, and it's such an upbeat song. I love it, Joseph. Didn't you just love that song?
I really like it.
I know you like that song. You know what? While I was preparing for the restoration hour, the Father really laid a scripture on my heart, and it's a scripture that I've obviously had a lot of revelation about, so it sometimes is hard when you've had deep revelation about something to kind of bring it across, because I pray that you'll get the same revelation. But, you know, Psalm 96 verse 9 says the following, and before I read it, I want to say that, you know what, in the world, we have an idea of what's beautiful. Mm-hmm. We have an idea of what, and it's obviously so very worldly, right? It's like that celebrity culture and all that plastic surgery and all that micro needling that people have done and all of those kind of things. And we look so at people on the outside and we are like, oh, that's beautiful. You know, oh, that looks good. And it's always about the outward. And we know that that's the plan of the enemy, to get us focused on the outward things and to define beauty as something that is seen and something that is kind of just skin deep, you know, that's very surface. But we know and we can acknowledge and we should proclaim that what is beautiful in Abba Father's eyes is so very completely different. And it's the kind of beauty that we should aspire to. And that is found in Psalm 96 verse 9, where it says, worship Yahweh in the beauty of holiness. Mm-hmm. And you know, a couple of years ago, Abba Father said to me, what is beautiful in my eyes was before I'd even read this verse. And he said, what is beautiful to me? And I was like, I'm not really sure. Righteousness, you know, obviously all of those things. And he led me to the scripture and said, what's beautiful to me and what I want to look upon is holiness. Now, depending what translation of the Bible you read this in, you will actually find it saying different things. And in a large part of different translations, it says worship him in the beauty of his holiness. And actually in the original Hebrew, it doesn't say his holiness. It says in the beauty of holiness. Holiness as an adjective, as something that is being described. And it's not Yahweh's holiness. We know that Yahweh is holy, but it's a holiness that we are supposed to be refined into through his power at work in our lives. Theologically, the translators of these different translations were like, well, we as human beings, we can't be holy. We can't be perfect. We can't be spiritually mature. We can't be any of those things, which how many times have we heard that? So they wrote, oh, well, if we worship him, it must be in the beauty of his holiness, because as human beings, there's no kind of holiness that we can attain. But we know, as we consistently say, Yeshua says, be what? Perfect. Because I am perfect. Because your Father in heaven is perfect. Be perfect. He says it. So I don't want to hear anybody tell me that I can't be perfect. He says I need to be perfect. He says in Leviticus 19, you be holy because I am holy. That is a choice. He's saying you choose to be holy. Just as he says, choose today, you know what you're going to do? Blessings and curses. Are you going to live, you know, by these curses of the Torah or the blessings? You're going to get the blessings of Torah or you're going to get the curses? What are you going to choose today? Just like Joshua says, choose today whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve Yahweh.
Oh, you know, this is actually so truth, because even in Revelation, it tells us very clearly, you know, the bride, it's not a matter of you get saved and then Yeshua all of a sudden makes you holy. Mm. It's never ever described like that. In the book of Revelation, right at the end, it says that the bride herself hath made herself ready, has made herself pure, has made herself ready. In other words, has put on the garments of righteousness. It's not it's actually a percentage wise, if you have to put it that way, it's 100% your commitment to the Father and 100% commitment the work of the Ruach in your life. You have to allow that working in your life, and you have to seek to walk the road of sanctification out right up until the end. It's so important. That's why it's the garments. Our garments is either going to be tattered and dirty, or our garments are going to be white and righteous and pure. And it's up to us whether we choose that road. Mm-hmm. So many believers, unfortunately, are saved. And, you know, Paul himself, Rav Shul, he says it. And I always questioned and I thought to myself, why does he say that? And he says, you know, he comes to this congregation and he says, you know, many of you sitting here are carnal believers. He says to them straight, you are carnal believers. You are not disciples in my kingdom or in the kingdom of the Father. You are not disciples in the kingdom of light. You are carnal believers. You are still babies on milk. But, and you haven't matured, you haven't grown up, because you're still living in your flesh. You have to move away from the desires of the flesh in order to live a life of holiness and set apartness unto Yahweh. If we still stay in our flesh, you're going to be a carnal believer. And a carnal believer, this is the other problem, a carnal believer cannot understand or grasp the mysteries of the kingdom of Yahweh. Why? Because it says this scripture, and I want to read it to you quickly before I give it back to you, Leah. It says this, and we started off with this. It says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see Yahweh. And that understanding of seeing Yahweh, it's when we are in His presence. You know, light and darkness cannot dwell together. So when light and darkness, or when light comes into the sphere or the realm of darkness, darkness has to flee. That is why so many people, Lilia, that are living in sin and living in things that are dark, when they go to a place where there's light, they feel ashamed, or they feel like, I just want to get out of this place, because light and darkness cannot dwell together. So when we are still in the realm of being lukewarm, as it says in the book of Revelation, we are going to get spat out. So we either are for Him or we are against Him. If we are for Him, then we have to follow Him in the realm of shalom, peace, and we have to seek after holiness, so that we can move out of that place of darkness into the place, like you said, of the Holy of Holies, where He can share with you the deeper truths of His word that is reserved for those who are set apart unto Him. Mm-hmm. And there is not a lot of people today, brothers and sisters, that can really, really go from the outer court into the holy place with boldness and without this feeling of like, am I ready? Am I not ready? You know, the disciples, like you said, they didn't walk around saying, okay, am I ready or am I not ready? Peter saw the man that was at the temple that was crippled for years. He didn't question and wonder, can I do this? He walked straight up to him and said to him, you know what, brother, silver and gold have I not, but such as I have. What did he have? He had a relationship with a living Elohim, with Messiah Yeshua, and because of his relationship and his conviction in his heart and that desire to stay in the realm of holiness, he was able to say to him, get up. Get up where you are and walk. Get up and walk. And what happened? The man got up and he walked because of the relationship. And you know, Leah, it's not, so many people will say, yeah, but that was just, you know, the time of the disciples. But if you go and you look at history as it goes forward, and you see how many other missionaries and men and women of Yahweh that walked a holy lifestyle with Yahweh have done mighty, mighty miracles, and people have been raised from the dead because they walked a life of holiness.
Mm. Yeah, I'm reminded of many, many people that we know that have gone before us who really did pray for people to be raised from the dead, and people were raised from the dead, and it is because of that relationship. And it's not a simple thing. We know here the scripture is saying that worship Yahweh in the beauty of holiness. And it says also in 1 Chronicles 16 verse 29, it says the same thing. It says, ascribe to Yahweh the glory that is due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship Him in the beauty, in the splendor of holiness. And that is our Abba Father. You know what? We talk a lot about worship. We talk a lot, like we've mentioned this before, worship is not just the music we listen to. That's not really worship, you know, it's part of it. But worshiping Yahweh is pursuing a holy lifestyle with Him and worshiping Him in holiness. That pursuit of holiness and living holy and set apart to Him is actually the kind of worship that He's looking for. It's the depth of the worship He's looking for. It's not just when we put up our hands when a great song comes on. It's not just all of those things. Yes, that's part of what we do, but it is truly this lifestyle, this pursuit. Abba Father wants to see us pursue Him every single day, and He wants to help us pursuing. And that is the beautiful thing as well, Yosef. It's not, like you said, it's 100% us, 100% commitment to Him, and 100% the work of the Ruach, the Holy Spirit at work in us, Abba Father, it says in his word, he is working in us to do his will and his good pleasure and to fulfill our calling and to worship him. He works in us to give us that heart desire. But he gives us that heart desire if we first have a heart of desire for him. We know, like with Pharaoh in Egypt, Yahweh already knew the decisions Pharaoh was going to make. He already knew that Pharaoh's heart was so hardened and so wicked and so evil. So it wasn't just a case that Yahweh just came along and was like, well, I'm just going to choose this man for destruction. Yes, he was chosen for destruction because his heart was already so wicked. So Yahweh just hardened his heart even more than it already was. And that's, you know, we know the rest of the story. So today it's the opposite. If Yahweh sees that your heart is for him, 100% committed, he's going to, you know what, work in you his good pleasure. We know that we are just dust. We know that we are just grass. We know that Yahweh has to work things in us, you know, but it says in his word that he is working in us and he is going to continue to work in us. We just got to desire holiness. And then he wants to see the choices that we're going to make. We know the tests of Abraham. Yes, he also knew that Abraham would offer Isaac, but yet he still wanted Abraham to do what? Take his son, physically go up the mountain, lay him on the wood, strike the match. Yahweh knows all the decisions we're going to make, but he just wants to see how committed our hearts are. And so sometimes today it's going to be like, you know, whatever it may be. You could be switching on the TV and something comes on and your flesh feels like, wow, you really want to watch this thing. But it is absolutely not a good thing to watch. And it's just got horrible things in it. And it's you know, things that is not of the kingdom of light. Yahweh still wants to see what your decision is going to be in that moment. It's not enough to, you know, maybe you just came from a quiet time. Now you're sitting down and there's these horrible things on the TV and you're choosing to watch it. He wants to see what your choice is going to be when you flick that off and you say, you know what, this is really hard because my flesh is really, really weak in this area. But Abba Father, help me. He's going to help you choose a better way. He's going to help you next time. You know what? As more and more that you say no to things that gratify the flesh, the easier it will become. And it will just become something that becomes a lifestyle. And I think that all of us, none of us have reached that place. If you have, that is awesome. Like I'm saying, none of us have reached that place of like 100% holiness and 100% perfection yet. If you have, that is really cool. But I know that, you know what, for most of us, we haven't really attained that yet. But it is a process and it is a walk and it is a journey. Holiness is a thing that we choose and we choose it from our heart. And what it is obedience. Obedience to the word. Obedience to, you know what, when the Father tells you not to do something or when he tells you to do something. Obedience to, you know, when you need to deal with woundedness. And Yosef, woundedness is something that prevents holiness from being. Because when we have woundedness in our hearts and we don't deal with it, we don't deal with the bitterness that came from whatever happened to us when we were children, when we don't deal with, you know, the illegitimacy that we feel in our hearts because our fathers didn't give us affirmation, it can lead us to pursue wrong relationships and then it leads to unholiness. So woundedness inside of us is a pathway for unholiness to thrive. And we need to deal with the pain that we carry around, allow Abba Father to really heal us and to work in us his good will and his good pleasure.
Amen. You know, Leah, I want to end off this evening as we come to the end of this restoration hour. You know, I think one of the things that has really stood out to me throughout this time is the condition of our hearts. That in order for us to be holy, it's not about, like we said, it's not about being religious. It's not about the rituals that you do. It's not about how much you pray, how loud you pray. It's not about how long your sits are or how short they are. It's not about, you know, whether you wear them or don't wear them. It's not about whether you go to church on a Sunday or don't go to church on a Sunday. It's not about your Tory group, how big or small it is. It's not about any of those things. It's about the condition of your heart, the pursuit of your heart. And you know, In Hebrew understanding, the heart is the place of your emotions. It's the seat of your emotions. It's where everything, the source of life, comes from your heart. And there's a passage of scripture that I like a lot, and it's in Psalm 24, and I always teach on this scripture, but I just want to read to you what it says. It says, "The earth belongs to Yahweh and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. For he has founded it upon the seas, and upon the waters he does establish it." And then it says, "Who does go up into the mountain of Yahweh? And who does stand in. And it's not talking here, and I want you to hear this, it's not talking about, you know, the holy place. It's talking about who does stand in his set apart place, the holy of holies. Who gets to stand in the very presence of the king? And then it gives you an answer, and it says, he who has innocent hands. In other words, somebody that is not defiled, that hasn't used their flesh or their hands, their body, for things that are contrary to Yahweh's word. And this is not only talking about just your hands. It's talking about, you know, your human body, your mind, your body, everything about you. And then it goes on and it says, you know, it's not just enough for your body to be given over as a living sacrifice to Yahweh. It's about your heart, because it says, he who has innocent hands and a clean heart. And then it says, who did not bring his life to naught. And another translation says, who did not serve an idol. So it goes back to one thing that we said last week. We are to present ourselves as a living sacrifice unto who? Yahweh, not unto an idol. We present ourselves to a living Elohim. He's not an idol. And our hearts have to be clean. And then it says, and who did not bring his life to naught or serve idols. When we serve our flesh, or we serve that TV, or we serve the phone, or we serve our social media, or we serve anything else that is contrary to what is found in the guidelines that Yahweh has given us, we are in essence serving an idol. Whether you want to believe that, you know, we don't have Buddhas in our house or other kinds of idols, there are still idols that are found in our hearts according to Yahweh's truth that is found in his word. And that's what he says. And then he says, such a person that does this and worships me in such a manner, they will receive a blessing from Yahweh. And then it says, and righteousness from Elohim as his deliverance. This, and then it tells us clearly, this is the generation of those who seek him. The generation of people who are truly going to be holy, righteous, a kingdom of priests, a holy generation, a chosen people unto Yahweh, will be a people whose hearts are not divided, whose hearts are serving Yahweh 100%, and whose hands have not been defiled by the things of this world. That's the generation that Yahweh is seeking. And then last scripture I want to share with you is found in Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 32. And it gives us a clear warning, Aaliyah, of why we drift away so easily from being people who want to love justice, mercy, kindness, all these things, and walk in holiness. It is because of this. And Israel's sins are still the same kind of sins that we fall in today. And he says to Israel this, cast away from you all your transgressions which you have committed, and make yourselves. He doesn't say, I'm going to do it for you. He says, make for yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. In other words, you need to desire to have a new heart and to be filled with the spirit of the living Elohim. And then he says, why will you die? And you know, he's maybe talking to them in a physical sense, but to us, he's saying to us in a spiritual sense, every day that you gratify your flesh, you are physically doing what is wrong, but in the spiritual sense, you're also defiling yourself day in, day out, and your garments, Aaliyah, are becoming tattered, dirty, and eventually you're not going to be identified by the groom as his bride. You will be identified by another groom as his bride. And we don't want to be part of that kingdom of darkness. We want to be part of the kingdom of light. So it's imperative that we do this. Let us make for ourselves a new heart. And how do we do that? By praying, by intimacy, by having that communication with the Father. You know, prayer, Aaliyah, is communication with the one we love. If I love you, I talk to you. If I don't want to talk to you, I disappear and I sit on my own. And so many of us, because of our guilt, because of our shame, because of our issues in our heart, we drift away from Yahweh, and then we don't have communication with him. But when times are tough and things are hard, we're quick to jump to our knees and say, Yahweh, help us. Yahweh, help us. And you know, Yahweh, he wants to help us, but it's kind of like it would be so much better if we were continuing to love him and serve him and worship him. And it would be easier for you than to ask and to believe and to know that something's going to happen.
This is an amazing scripture, Ezekiel 18, verse 31. And I really encourage you to as well go and read it. You know, make for yourselves a new heart. make for yourself a new spirit. We didn't say it, the scripture said it this evening. And so we want to go to our final song called Too Good to Not Believe. And you know what? During this song, if you have a prayer request today, please put it down there. We'd love to be able to pray for you when we get back. You have just a few minutes to do this, so please put your prayer request down. And when we get back, we will pray for you.
Stories that have proved your faithfulness. I've seen miracles my mind can't comprehend. And there is beauty in what I can't understand. Jesus, it's you. Jesus, it's you. I believe you're the wonder. God, you're the wonder-working God. All the miracles I've seen, too good to not believe. You're the wonder-working God, and you heal because you love. All the miracles we'll see, you're too good to not believe. Too good to not believe. Too good to not. I can't resurrect a man with my own hands. But just the mention of your name can raise the dead. Yeah. All the glory to the only one who can. Jesus is here. Jesus is here.
Don't you tell me he can't do it. We'll see cities everywhere.
wonder-working God. Don't you ever stop believing, 'cause he's so, so good. So, so.
Father, we just thank you that as we hear these words proclaimed this evening, that we know that you are the wonder-working God. And Father, I know so many of us sitting here have seen so many miracles and have witnessed so many incredible things, not only in our lives, but in the lives of other people. And Father, we just proclaim that this evening, and we just come to you with our needs tonight, Father. And I just really want to lift my release up to you this evening, Father. You know this prayer request that she has said, Father, for her health and how her body has been through a lot the last couple of weeks. Father, we lift her up to you. We just proclaim your name, Yeshua, over her body, over her health, every part of her health, Father, emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually, Father, that you would just come and that you would bring such a depth of healing, Father, to her in the mighty name of Yeshua. We just proclaim freedom, Father, in her mind and her thoughts and in her body, Father. We pray that you would bless her, Father, that you would keep her, make your face shine upon her. Father, lead her with all wisdom, all guidance, all grace, all comfort, all knowledge, all understanding, Father, of your mighty, mighty will for her life, Father. I pray, Father, that she will experience such a freedom in every single part of her, Father. And I just really pray that her body will begin to experience a shalom, Father, that her mind and her thoughts will begin to experience a shalom, and that joy will touch her, Father, in her innermost part, and that joy would overflow, Father, and that her mind would perceive that there is goodness here, and there is joy here, and there is faithfulness in you, and that you are good, Father, and that you are always with her, Father. I just really, really pray that you will work in every single area of her life, Father, that needs your healing touch, that needs your healing power, that needs your healing grace. And Father, may your comfort and love and joy just really, really be her portion. And Father, we just pray that you will just continue to bless her body and continue just to bring everything in line with the perfect will of Messiah Yeshua. Also pray, Father, that you will just lead her and guide her to, Father, be good to her body, be good to every part of herself, Father, to practice self-care and self-love, Father, and acceptance of herself, and that, Father, you will just lead her and guide her in every single thing that she does. Bless Marlise, keep her, Father, just seal her up in you. May your blood cover her, Yeshua, in everything, and may she just experience such a peace. And also just pray that she will have such a blessed night's rest this evening, that, Father, her body will be at rest, and that she'll wake up having known that, Father, she was just resting with you and in your arms, Father. We thank you so much this evening that you are just such a good God, Father. You are just so faithful, Yeshua, that you are so good to us. And we really want to pray for your word just to be manifest to us. Father, we want to pray that you will help us pursue that holiness, that you will help us know, Father, how to walk with you in the beauty of holiness in every single day, that you will empower our prayer times, Father, that you will empower, you know, Father, just us in this time that we are alive in. It's difficult, Father. We see lockdowns, we see social distancing, we see isolation and separation. And Father, I pray that, Father, you will just empower us in this time to continue to be the light, continue to be witnesses, continue to grow in you and spiritually mature, so that, Father, when things change, that, Father, we will say that you led us through it, and now we will begin to do even the greater works as the borders open and as you tell us to go once again. And as we just continue to go, even now in our little communities, in our little towns, that, Father, you will continue to empower us to do the incredible works that you have called us to do. Father, we pray that you'll keep working in our hearts, keep working in our lives, and we just give you all the praise for this. Yeshua, we pray this in your mighty name. Amen.
Father, we just want to lift up tonight to you, Father, into your hands, Aideen's parents. Father, we want to pray in the name of Yeshua, Father, for both her mother and her father. Father, we want to pray, Abba Father, that you will touch them wherever they are. Father, I know that Aideen, Father, is crying out to you, Father, and I pray, Yahweh, as your word says, that you will not be deaf, Father, as she does cry out to you. And Father, that your word also says, Father, that when we ask for bread, that you will not give us a stone. So I pray tonight, Father, that you will bless her mother and her father, Father, that you will bless both of them, Father, that whatever is going on with their health, Father, that they will be healed in the name of Yeshua. I pray, Father, that there will be a great testimony, Father, of their healing, Father, and that they will know, Yahweh, that this wasn't just because of anything else, Father, but because of Yahweh who is alive, Father, and because of Yeshua who is there, Father, and with them. And I pray, Abba Father, that Aideen will be a light, Father, in that house, and that they will know, Father, the presence of the mighty King, Father, because of the life that she lives. I also want to pray for you tonight, Aideen, and I pray in the name of Yeshua that you will know the love of Messiah over your life. I really want to say to you tonight that Yahweh sees you as not only his daughter, but as a great warrior, a woman in his kingdom that he can count on, somebody that he can share his truth with, somebody that he can pour his anointing upon. And I believe that you have not only created a place for him to dwell, but a place kind of like a mercy seat, a place with your life that is ready for the presence of the King. And Yahweh says to you tonight, keep your focus on him and keep your eyes on him. Lean not upon your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Every desire of your heart that you have, Abba Father says that he will meet it according to his glorious riches in his time, because his time is perfect. Don't allow time to slip into your own hands. Allow Abba Father to lead you step by step, place by place, person by person, situation by situation. Yahweh says that he will lead you through every single one of them. And in the hard times, Yahweh says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. In the good times, Yahweh says that I will be with you and I will rejoice over you, says Yahweh, because I love you. So I pray in the name of Yeshua that the word of Yahweh will resonate in your heart and that it will be sealed up, that you will run the race that is set before you with endurance, and that Yahweh will be with you every step of the way. This evening, we also want to pray over Davi and Debbie. And Father, I really want to lift up Debbie to you this evening. And Debbie, I want to pray for you in the name of Yeshua. I really feel tonight to say to you that even though you feel weak, even though you feel tired, even though you feel like there is this great burden upon your shoulders, Yahweh says to you tonight, my daughter, my chosen child, I am with you. I will not leave you. I will carry you and I will uplift you. And Yahweh says that even though your arms feel tired, there is coming a time where I will raise you up, I will lift you up, and I will put you on a new level, a new place, a place where your eyes have been looking down upon things and upon circumstances. And Yahweh says, I will lift you up so that your focus can change from what is seen at the bottom to what is up at the top. And Yahweh says that I will elevate you to that place and I will be with you. I also feel tonight to say to you that even though you are tired, Yahweh says that he will renew your strength in a spiritual way, in a way that no one else can renew, in a way that no person can do. Yahweh says that I will renew your strength and I will give you joy again. Joy comes in the morning, says Yahweh. And Yahweh says that I will pour my anointing over you and that you will have joy that will flow from your innermost parts and will continue to flow out of you. And people will look at you and say, how is it possible that even though all these things are happening, even though all these things have been upon your life, that you still have joy and that you still have a smile in your face? Yahweh says, my child, my daughter, my chosen one, I have never left you, I have never forsaken you, I am with you always, and I will be with you always until the end of the age. Father, I pray tonight also for Darby, Father, and them as a couple, Father, that you will bind them with a cord of love that cannot be broken. I pray, Father, that their going out and their coming in will be blessed, Father, that you will protect them, that you will keep them, Father, that the joy of Yahweh, which gives them strength, Father, and not sorrow. I pray, Father, that they will have a garment of praise instead of a garment of mourning. And Father, that they will be joyful and happy and know, Yahweh, that you are with them through every storm, through every trial, in the name of Yeshua. And we thank you for this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
You know, Ane, I just had you so strongly laid on my heart during this time, and I just really, really want to pray for you. And Father, we just thank you so much for Ane's life, Father. We thank you so much that you love her, Father, and that she loves you, Father. And I thank you so much for the good things that you are at work and doing in her life right now, Father. And Ane, I just really felt as well that there was that Yahweh's just done such a great thing in your life. There's just been such a burden that's been lifted off your shoulders this week, and just a release that's come, and that joy joy has been restored and goodness has been restored. And I just want to pray that Abba Father will continue to bless you, to keep you, make his face to shine upon you. And I pray that as this has been released, that Abba Father will just begin to expand. I just see that he's going to just show you and things are just going to fall so completely into place, you know, just before you. There are different things that are going to fall into place. And I just see them one by one by one, you know, just these five things that I see that he's, you know, putting in place before you. And it's just going to be from the left to the right, from the top to the bottom, everything falling into place. Now that the burden has been released, now that the yoke has been gone, and that now that you feel that hope and that you can breathe again, that things are going to start to fall into place. And he's just bringing those things to you. And he's just going to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's just going to be so beautifully laid before you. And it's going to be exactly as you have wanted it to be, how you've yearned for it to be, even though you didn't know what to imagine it was going to be or what it was going to be. Abba Father's just bringing it to you and he's just laying it out before you. And we just really, really praise you, Yeshua, that you're at work in Anae's life. And thank you that she is sticking by you, Father. Thank you that she is just remaining steadfast and saying, Abba Father, you're going to do it, even though it's tough. I know that you're going to put all of this into place. And Anae, we just want to say, may Abba Father just really bless you. May he lead you and guide you as you become powerful in the workplace, as you become just so blessed in every single business place that Abba Father places you in, and whatever he's going to be doing at work in your life, may Abba Father just richly bless you and keep you. And we just honor you for staying steadfast in him through such hard times and through such dry times and through such hard seasons that felt like autumn and winter and drought seasons. And Father, we thank you for Anae. We pray a blessing over her and her family, over her entire family. Father, may you be with them. May you always, always shine your love on them and lead them closer to your heart, Father. Just draw them closer to you. In the mighty name of Yeshua, we pray. Amen.
Father, tonight I really have Brett laid on my heart. And Brett, I want to say to you tonight, as I pray for you and as Aaliyah was just praying, I had this picture of a soldier that was, he was walking with a backpack on his back and a gun in his hand, but his head was down. In other words, he was looking down on the ground in a sense of almost defeatedness. And Yahweh says to you tonight that you have not been defeated, that you need to remember the weapons of your warfare, and that Yahweh has called you to be a mighty warrior in his kingdom, a person who has been called for such a time as this, to remember the words that Yahweh has spoken over your life, to remember the words of prophecy, the promises that Yahweh has given you for your life and for your future. And Yahweh says that even though sometimes you have felt defeated, even though sometimes you have felt like the blessings and the things that people have spoken have not materialized, Yahweh says, do not be defeated. Do not be that soldier that has his head bowed down, but be the soldier that is marching triumphantly. Be the soldier that is marching with his head held high, with his hand raised to his head, saluting and having the uniform on that is in such a pristine shape and in such a pristine way. And Yahweh says that now is the time to shake off the dust and to remember who you are, that Yahweh has called you by name, Brett. He has given you prophecy after prophecy, word after word. And Yahweh says, hold on to the things that I have told you, and don't be a person that is being defeated or chipping. It's almost as if like things have come along your path and chipped away at who you are meant to be. And Yahweh says that his hand, his loving hand, will come and touch those places, almost like a person using polyfiller. And Yahweh says that he will come and he will just seal up all of those chips in your life if you trust him, if you walk in his ways, if you commit to him again with your whole heart. I feel to say to you tonight to commit to Yahweh with your whole heart, with every part of your life. And Yahweh says that I will make your path straight, and I will bless you, and I will give you the desires of your heart, and great and mighty doors that seem to be locked will open in the days to come. They will swing wide open, and you'll be able to walk through them. Not just walk through them, but march through them with a great fire burning in your life. I pray for you, brother. I pray that Yahweh will bless you and keep you. I pray that he will make his face shine upon you, and that you will be the man that Yahweh has called you to be, in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. It's been so good to have this restoration time with you, and it's just been such a blessing this evening to us. And so we want to say Shavua Shavua Tov. Thank you again for being with us. You know what? May Abba Father just richly bless each and every single one of you this week, and may He just seal up the words that He has given to you. You know, not only from today, but the words that you've received in different seasons of your life. May Abba Father seal it up, and may the enemy not come in and take those words, but may they just take root and grow fruit. Abba Father loves each and every single one of you. Be blessed. We cannot wait to be with you again next week. May you have a wonderful week. Shavua Shavua Tov.
Shalom.
I lose my way, and I forget my name. Remind me who I am. In the mirror, all I see is who I don't wanna be. Remind me who I am. In the loneliest places, when I can't remember what grace is. I belong to you.